Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here. Let's kick off another week with some great Disney talk. We have a fun trip report lined up for you. Josh is joining us from here in Maplewood, Missouri, and we're going to talk about his trip down to Disney's Art of Animation Resort. It was a multi-generational trip, taking his daughter, who was a toddler at the time. We also talk about his experience growing up in South Florida and his college program experience. Lots of fun Disney talk to get your week started. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They have the tools you need to stay out of crowds and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. It really does help support everything we do here on the podcast. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and every purchase helps us with everything we do here on the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1601 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope that you're doing great, and we're kicking off yet another week here by having a great trip report, talking Disney to start a great week. So joining me today, we're staying in the 314 area code here in St. Louis, Missouri, heading down to Maplewood with Josh. Josh, how's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. And we were just talking that this is so typical for folks that live in the Midwest, that we had this prediction for 3 or 4 days of Snowmageddon coming in as we record here. You know, it's winter storm warning. We're going to get buried with snow and all this stuff. And then how much did you say you have on the ground right now as the storm exits?
Barely anything, really.
Same. It was so sad. And, you know, I'm a former school teacher, so I still get excited about the possibility of snow days for my wife and my daughter.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm bred with that. So, yeah, that's just how it is. I'm sure people all around the, you know, especially folks in the Midwest, we get these dire predictions for big snowstorms and nothing. And then the time they say it's not going to snow, look out, you know, so who knows?
Oh, yeah. And it was, what, 70 on Sunday? Yes. So it's just all over the place. Yeah,
it's almost baseball season. That's all I got to say. So yeah. The Cardinals were taking their stuff down to spring training, so it's all good.
Right.
So we're going to talk about your trip report. We're going to talk a little bit about Art of Animation and going down with a larger group. But before that, give us some background, because I know that you're a hardcore Disney fan, especially parks, because you did college program. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But kind of what's your background? How did you fall in love with Disney? What's your connection?
So growing up in South Florida, especially early 90s, that Eisner era, it was like, it was booming at that time. So we were fortunate enough to be able to have annual passes as kids in the early 90s. So we were going up monthly at that time. Fort Wilderness, we would do trips all the time where we go up to Fort Wilderness, not even go to the parks. So just, we were just infatuated by everything as far as the resorts and Disney. So when it was time to sign up for the college program, I mean, I knew I was going to do that from probably 12 years old. So cool. I did it for one long summer and a fall semester, and it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. And it was one of those weird things where you're like, I wonder if this is going to ruin it for me. And it was the opposite. It just made me fall in love with it even more. It was really incredible.
So yeah, you're right about the Disney decade, the Eisner era, where, you know, it was just, there was, Walt Disney World was booming, you know, new hotels, new parks, you know, new experiences within the parks. And it was all over the media too, you know, like it was just everybody, even here in the Midwest, you know, you wanted to just to get down there. It was exciting. Things were just, it was exploding at Walt Disney World. So what you said, you grew up in South Florida. So I'd imagine that, you know, being in the state of Florida, it's almost like a cultural thing, especially more than I have here in St. Louis growing up. I mean, is it something that everybody kind of has, you know, they get there more, you get to go to Orlando more? Is it something you talk about a lot? I mean, just, you know, it's kind of like here, you get to go to Six Flags, but you know, down there, maybe it's Walt Disney World. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, my brother-in-law, they're there now and he's never been, and he's, you know, in his 40s, and it's crazy how many, you know, clients I have here where I work in the Midwest and never been before. And it's, yeah. So yes, absolutely. In South Florida at that time in the early 90s, it was $25, $35 for a Florida resident ticket. So it was kind of like, it really spoke to every, I mean, anybody could go at that time. So it was definitely a part of the culture down there.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about college program, because I know a lot of folks, you know, everybody I talk to that's done it looks back on it with fond memories, you know, and lots of fun stories at least. Talk to us about, you know, what you did and like what memory, because you said it was about a decade ago that you did this. But I mean, these are some of the, I remember, you know, I worked at Space Camp for a couple of summers, kind of the same thing. You know, I taught teachers down there, got to have access to things I wouldn't normally get to do as far as teaching with the facilities and the folks we got to bring in as guest speakers. I mean, real astronauts and everything. So what was that like for you? Like, what do you look back on 10 years later and say, man, I really appreciate that time in my life?
Well, I mean, just being a Disney fan, when you do your orientation and they walk you through the utilidors underneath Magic Kingdom the first time, it was definitely that moment of, because I mean, especially now with Disney Plus, you can see the Imagineering story and they show you, but at that time you didn't, never really seen it before. So getting to walk that, I mean, I'll never forget that. There are some other moments of that, those 9 months that I don't remember, because it is a lot of, it's a lot of work. I mean, you really do bust your butt. You're working a lot, but then you're playing hard too, as far as going to the parks every night. So I just remember working really hard. I worked at Blizzard Beach in food and beverage, anything from snow cones to the buckets with ice cream.
I mean, Mallory used to get those all the time. Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah. So, I mean, you get your play too, but I spent a whole summer at Blizzard Beach. And it was kind of weird because you go really early and then you almost pray for the rain to come later to clear out the forest. But at the same time, you're done early anyways. But it's, you know, summer at Disney, it's hustle, bustle, it's hot, it's fun. But I'll never forget that first orientation. It was great.
Man, that's great for Disney. I love hearing that. I can already hear it in your voice that it was an exciting time. Now, let me ask you this too. As far as, you know, the folks you did the program with, again, quite a while ago now, but was everybody a huge Disney fan for the most part? Because I hope that's the case, but I wonder if folks maybe just do it in college just to get away for a little bit and maybe build the resume, you know, to put Disney on the resume. But I'd imagine if you're going to, because I've heard the exact same thing. It's a lot of work, but I've heard it's also a ton of fun at the same time. So did you find most people were the big Disney fans just like you?
So I had seven other roommates, seven other guys in our place. I would say two of them were big park guys. And then you'll have one guy that was like a big movie guy, but he's never been to the Disney parks before. And then you had a couple other guys that were there literally for school hospitality credits. And I don't think they ever went to the park with us. So it's kind of a good mix of everybody. And because you are there with a lot of other college kids, there's a lot of college-y things going on. So there were some kids that did that. I was more the type that I wanted to go on the rides and do that kind of thing. So yeah, there was a good mix, but there was a couple of guys that were all about the theme parks like I was.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, it's right there in your back. I mean, you're literally living there, you know, with these awesome theme parks. And for a Disney parks fan, oh my gosh, that's
too much.
So let me ask a couple more things about this. We'll hop into the trip report. For folks that are considering this or folks that are getting ready, they've been accepted to the program. Maybe their program starts, I don't know, soon in the spring or something. What advice would you give them looking back, you know, something you learned or possibly something you wish you would have known going into the program that might help some of our listeners that are thinking about college program?
So it's not necessarily a regret of mine, but if Disney is your passion and you want to work there and that's something that you really, really want to do, it's an incredible company to work for. I've got friends that work there now. Really try to do the extracurricular things. Talk to the managers, ask them how you can do extra trainings. They offer classes while you're there. You don't have to take them if you don't want to, at least at the time you didn't have to. Sign up for those classes, do the extracurricular things, and then try to get what's called a professional internship after you do your college program. And that, if you get that, you're basically going to get propelled into, you know, a job offer if you really network well. But I mean, while you're there on campus, my gosh, if you just talk to your managers, that everyone there is willing to help and they like people that want to work there and they hire from within. So that would be my biggest advice. If that's your passion to work there, you take advantage of what they're offering.
That's a great tip. I mean, because they're going to want the folks that are the go-getters and the folks that are going the extra mile. And by doing that, especially if you're somebody like that's listening to this podcast today, usually that's going to be like the kid in the candy store anyhow. I mean, it's work,
right?
But it's something, you know, like it's podcasting for me, you know, it's not work. It's a passion. I love doing this, you know? And so if I'm taking a class on podcasting to do the show better, that's fine. It's not hard. So yeah, that's great advice. Now let me ask you one other thing about this before we talk about the trip. So looking back, do you have like some awesome story or memory that sticks out? You know, I have a few from Space Camp, folks I met, experiences we got to have with teachers from all over the world at international camp. But I mean, what's one story people would love to hear about this?
It's a ride. I mean, I'll never forget. This is a ride story. So at the time, and I don't know exactly how it worked before for the Tower of Terror, but I think they had maybe 5 or 6 random ride versions at the time. I just happened to be there when they were now going to start doing more randomized versions. And I don't know if I'm explaining it right, but basically there was 6 more added versions of that ride, because every time you go on, it's just randomized by the computer. So the cast previews for the attractions were something that they let us do. So they would actually let us go into the park at 1 a.m. when the whole park was closed. And then you would get to ride the 6 different versions of Tower of Terror and then rate them. And then they just kind of use it as like, obviously, their study. So I literally rode Tower of Terror, I think, 20 times from 1 a.m. till 3 a.m. I mean, it's just a blast. It was awesome.
That's cool, though. I mean, just to get to, you know, in the park when it's closed and, you know, be part of a, I don't know if like that's the exact focus group I want to be a part of, because we might need custodial or something, but I'm just saying. Yeah. Do it a few times. That's funny, though. I love that, though, because that's why you're there, to have those, you know, opportunities and those fun experiences. All right, so let's hop into your trip and talk about, you guys stayed down Art of Animation, larger group. So how did this trip come together? Like, why'd you decide when you went, who all was with you, that kind of stuff?
So after leaving the college program, I hadn't really been back to Disney in a long time. It'd probably been 8 years. And in that time, I got married. I had a daughter. Once she was old enough to take, I kind of was pushing like, okay, we need to do a trip. So I wanted to do a big trip. I wanted to get more people involved. I kind of wanted to go back to how it was when I was a kid, where we all went, grandparents and parents and, you know, that kind of thing. So the big goal was to get my daughter down there at 2 years old. She's still free at the time, so that was kind of nice. But so, we just decided to do this big trip. I wanted to just do a park heavy Monday through Friday, 5 days of parks kind of a trip, and just go after it. And that's kind of how we started the idea of it. And then threw it out to their grandparents and the parents, and they all kind of jumped in. So it turned into a kind of a big planning effort on our part.
So when you have like a multi-generational trip like this, obviously you have the expertise, you know what's going on. Did everybody kind of just defer to let you make all the reservations, all the, you know, take care of everything? And they just kind of, okay, where do I need to be, when, and let's go.
Oh yeah. I definitely did a lot of that. We actually had friends from Dallas meet us out there too, and they had kids. And they literally just kind of deferred everything to me. But the last time I was there, they didn't have, you know, it was still the stick your ticket into the machine and get a fast pass version. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I had no clue what I was doing as far as the fast pass stuff. So it was a lot of going on, you know, mouse for less, all the different websites out there just trying to find what the heck was going on. So I did everything myself. I got up early and did all the fast passes. But having that many people is kind of complicated, because you have fast passes for one ride and these guys are going there, these guys are going here. So by far the biggest learning curve, because Disney had changed a lot since I had last been there.
So let me ask you about that, because, I love talking to folks that were there, you know, a while back, you know, with the legacy fast pass system and now My Disney Experience, where, you know, everything is right there in your hand on the app or on the website, but, you know, there's positives and negatives to all. So like, if you had your druthers and you could either go with the old system or My Disney Experience, in your opinion, which one works out best for somebody like you that's really, you know, out there and really pushing the limits in the parks?
I think nowadays having the technology is great, because, I mean, remember, the crowds are like, they're on another level now.
True.
And that was another thing while we were there. We our go-to time was like right after Thanksgiving or right before Thanksgiving. It was always dead as a Florida resident. It was not dead. It was busy. So I think the app, being able to pull stuff up, stay organized with that many people as far as all the different plans, was helpful. So I liked the app. I actually really enjoyed it. The old FastPass system was kind of neat, just because you could burn FastPasses quicker, but I also felt like when you would get a fast pass, it was like, come back within an hour. It was not later that day kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So with the crowds, I think the technology is great.
Yeah, I remember the old days. Now, here's when I kind of soured on the old legacy fast passes, is when they started enforcing the return times.
Right.
And I wasn't as excited about that old system, because what we used to do, we first used to go in the early 2000s, mid 2000s. you know, we would collect them in the morning and we'd take an afternoon break. And then in the evening, we'd go back to that park with like five or six fast passes in our pocket. You know, you'd have dinner and you were just rolling, man. You just didn't wait 5 minutes. It was great. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that's a great point. I didn't even consider that. With the crowds as heavy as they are, most of the times the parks are jammed nowadays for the most part. You know, it's good knowing you have these three experiences guaranteed at this time. And you can kind of build everything a lot easier because even with the Legacy, you had to do the work and you didn't have a set schedule. Now everything, I mean, it does take some of the spontaneity out, but you're guaranteed to have a certain level of experience every day in the park, a minimum, which is good.
Right. For sure.
All right. So you guys stayed Art of Animation. So how'd that work out for you guys? What'd you think?
I loved it. I see how it's a value resort, but I think there's some things of that resort that are maybe pushing the moderate, resort kind of category. We did a suite. So we did the Lion King suite. It was amazing. Being able to have my mother-in-law, my daughter, me and my wife in that suite. And then next door was my grandparents and then just a little further down was my parents. I mean, it was kind of the perfect situation because we are those kind of people that are get up and go. And then in the afternoons, come back, do the pool kind of a thing. It's perfect. It's a great resort. It really is. The Skyliner wasn't done yet when we were there. It's a shame, but I think that resort pushes the moderate category in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, those suites are really nice, and the food court there, Landscape of Flavors, is just it's nails. I mean, it's a great. So those Pop Centuries, but especially Landscape of Flavors. And you're right, the Big Blue Pool, awesome. And the theming in that resort, I mean, especially, I like to go down to that Cars area when I stay there. I mean, that's just with the little cones where you can get out of the sun. I think, you're right. It may push like a moderate type pool down. No slide, but I mean, it's still very themed.
Yeah, and I think for my daughter at two, especially we're walking up to the Lion King area, and that's all new for her, and she just seen the movie to see, Simba up there on the rock and all this stuff. I mean, that's really unique to that resort. And that's kind of why we chose it.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you one other thing, too. But outside of the resort, you travel with your daughter. She was a toddler at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, I've been there. We started taking Mallory when she was 6 months old, and she's been going, a couple times a year since. I mean, I remember those days, and it can be touch and go. So for the most part, how was it with a toddler?
It actually went really well. I think it's a little, it's a lot. And luckily, Finley, my daughter, is the type that is high energy and then kind of a crash. I would say every day by two, she was asleep in the stroller, which on like an Epcot kind of a day was perfect because then we could go to the World Showcase, get food, get drinks, do that kind of thing. And she was sleeping. So every day we probably got a 2 hour nap out of her in a stroller, which I know is rare for parents. She traveled great. I really couldn't complain. We've taken her back since, and she was just as good. I'm happy with her. I mean, I know that can be tough with some parents, and obviously kids are different. So I don't know. It really worked out. I didn't have any complaints about it, to be honest.
Now, one other question that we get a lot, as far as here at the podcast, is when you're taking toddlers, they have a lot of stuff. Like you said, strollers and seats and just all the stuff, especially as they're younger, the babies. Did you guys fly? Did you guys drive? And how'd you go about getting all the stuff Finley needed to have a great trip?
Well, that was kind of the stuff that wasn't there before, right? I mean, it's been so long since I've been at Disney, and I've never flown into Disney before. So flying in and having the Magical Express, having the bag shipped to the room, we had to still carry the car seat over our shoulder, that kind of stuff. I can't tell you how helpful it was to have even the resort check-in leaving, because we did a park day on our last day and went to the park all day and just dropped our bags off. To take half of the stuff away from us was huge, because you're right. I mean, you're there with car seat, stroller, all of, we brought toys for her. It's just
when you don't travel with kids, you don't realize how much stuff you break. Like, it's like, oh, what's that suitcase? Oh, that's just the junk for the baby. It's like, that's how it is.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, I think that one of the things that, especially in the last few years, that Disney, I don't think they get enough positive, feedback about, is that the transportation system is amazing. It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially now with the Skyliner, and they can get you from point A to point B pretty efficiently, considering all the places that their system goes. And then you add Magical Express to get you from the airport to the airport. Like you said, express check-in for your bags on the last day. You just drop them off at your hotel. You pick them up back at your home airport. I mean, there's a lot of things that make travel easy to a Disney destination where it wouldn't be other places.
Yeah, especially because Orlando's not St. Louis Airport. It's another, yeah. It's got another layer of moving around. So yeah, it's kind of overwhelming when you first get to Orlando International Airport. So not have all the bags towing behind you is a huge help.
Absolutely, yeah. If you ever float into St. Louis and you fly Southwest, I mean, you can see your gate as you're going through TSA. I mean, boom.
I leave an hour before the flight. It's really not that big of a deal.
It's crazy. I love it, though. It's nice. Yeah. We don't live very far from the airport either one of us, so it's really great. All right, so let me ask you, so about the trip. You had these multi-generational trips. So how did that go? I mean, because did you guys all stay together? Did some folks go and do something a little bit milder? Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe you took a break and did some more of the intense rides. How's that go as far as park touring?
Oh, no, I mean, definitely having the grandparents there to take the baby so you can go on Space Mountain and that kind of stuff. We totally took advantage of that. And, you know, they would go do like Winnie the Pooh, let's say at Magic Kingdom the day, and then we would do Space Mountain twice. I mean, that was kind of part of the plan. That was kind of what we knew was going to happen. But most part, we actually all stuck together. I was able to find dining reservations for 8 people, no problem. I mean, it was a good time of the year to go, I guess, for that. But yeah, we split up a lot. And there were some times where somebody wanted to go lunch somewhere else. We weren't really ready. So when you're with that many people, it's almost better to kind of let them just do their own thing and then kind of meet back in a general area because we had a fast pass and we wanted to do something and they could take Finley. So it worked out with the large group.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if you've never done that, that is such a help because having an extra set of hands, especially more than one, you know, because the grandparents are going to enjoy their time with the grandchild. I mean, that's like,
oh yeah,
you know, they're in heaven, you know, and you get to go, you know, get 2 hours to go, you know, ride a thrill ride, which you probably, you know, wouldn't have the opportunity to do otherwise. It's a win-win. So when you get to do that, plus when you come home, I'd imagine, you know, you had stories of being together. You know, the parents probably had stories with Finley about, you know, their times when they maybe, like you said, did Winnie the Pooh or Peter Pan by themselves. And especially like, I bet you guys got some great pictures. You guys do Memory Maker? Or did you just take your own shots?
We did a lot of our own shots. We didn't do Memory Maker on that trip. I kind of wish we did just because the length we were there. I mean, there was tons of pictures. And I had no idea that they automatically take pictures of the rides and put them on the app. I had no clue. So we should have done it, but we ended up getting some of the pictures, I believe. But no, they did a lot of that kind of stuff when we would do maybe some of the bigger rides, you know, the parade or go do pictures or go do other things like that. And then that they had their own memories with Finley as well as all of us too.
That's cool. So do you have any like memories from this trip of times in the park, maybe something that Finley enjoyed more than you were expecting, or, you know, something the parents even said, you know, hey, this was really cool. And you're thinking, it's always the stuff I don't expect. You know, like I never.
The people mover. It's always the people mover.
Yes. That's a given. That's a good one.
It's funny because it was one of those things where like, well, of course we could take her on that because it's hard to find what you can take her on because she thinks she was 30 inches at the time. So, you know, we did Dumbo and Aladdin and Pirates, and I think Pirates actually was during nap time, so she was asleep on that one, which we were kind of iffy on that too, as if she should go on it. But the People Mover was like the best part because it was, she could go on it, she saw everything, and she thought for all intents and purposes that she went on a big kid ride. So you know, funny stuff like that. You're like, I can't believe how much she enjoyed that. But
you know, it's another one kind of like Pirates is when you take toddlers on Haunted Mansion, because some people will give you all kinds of heat, you know, like, oh my gosh, you're taking a 2-year-old into the Haunted Mansion. But the thing is, they don't have the background. They don't know it's scary. It's just dark.
Right. And here's a memory on that. We got stuck at the floating head scene. And I was just sitting there shaking my head like, we're going to get in so much trouble. We're going to get judged, all this. But no, it was fine because like you said, they don't know that it's scary at that age. So it was cool. She had a great time.
Yeah, it usually just knocks the kids out because it's cool. It's dark. I mean, does that to me. You know, like when I get on it nowadays on a hot summer day, I barely see like the Escher steps. You know, I'm like, nowadays, if I get my picture taken, I'm still awake by that first scene. I'm good, you know. And then I wake up usually by the dining room, so it's fun.
Yeah.
Now you also mentioned dining as far as getting all together for some meals. Do you have any dining experiences you want to share with the audience?
Gosh, we had to do some of the staple stuff like cafe Mickey's at Contemporary, stuff like that. I think was the big like. You know, oh my gosh, that was the very first thing we did on our very first day. And that was kind of like the we're here kind of a thing. It was perfect, actually. And I think Finley freaked out at that point. I don't think she really, I mean, she's 2. She doesn't really get what we're doing there. And that was kind of like the perfect entry. So I remember that very vividly. We went to Animal Kingdom to eat Boma. That was really, really good. I try to pick places at the resorts, like where we could go eat at the resorts after the park. I mean, I know it's a lot of travel, but I just wanted an opportunity to see everything. It's been so long since I've seen all the different resorts that we try to actually get off the theme parks and go into the resorts to eat. So I remember Animal Kingdom Lodge vividly too. That was so impressive.
Yeah, I'm one of those people too that always, I do a lot of dining in the resorts because, like you said, it gives me an excuse to A, kind of escape the madness of the parks, which, you know, I love it, but after 6-7 hours, I need a break. I need to sit down where it's not crazy, you know, Chef Mickey's crazy, but it's, but that's a perfect kickoff to your trip, especially with a toddler, because immediately everybody's getting a meal and, you know, Chef Mickey's is good because it's a buffet, you know, everybody can find something they're going to like. It's not a high risk, you know, there's lots of good stuff on the buffet, but I mean, right away you're seeing the Fab Five. You're in a cool resort. The monorail's going by. I mean, if there's a restaurant that screams this is Walt Disney World, that might be it.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if we actually planned it that way, but it ended up kind of working out as that situation. So it was perfect.
Let me ask you too about, you know, you had this long layoff, but you know, so much had changed. Legacy Fast Pass, My Disney Experience, you know, these different resorts going through a lot of changes. How did you react to that? I mean, I'm sure it felt familiar because there's so much there that's constant for the most part. But I mean, there's also so many changes. So, you know, what was your overall feeling as far as the nostalgia? Because you have that. But I mean, like you said, a lot of changes in that time in between.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, gosh, so Fantasyland was new. So walking through the castle or around the castle and seeing Seven Dwarves and that kind of stuff, I hadn't been there since that was completed. So that was kind of one of those like, oh, wow, moments of this is different, but so well done, and it looked like it'd been there for, you know, 30 years already. So yeah, there was a couple moments like that at the parks. You know, Toy Story Land was obviously new now anyways, but it looked different. I think the biggest one for me was probably just the Magic Kingdom with the new Fantasyland area and just not having, you know, 20,000 leagues, and there's certain memories were coming back. And I know it's been a long time since they had their little Skyliner in the park, but I remember that as a kid and standing there in Fantasyland and watching them go over in the gondolas. And used to be able to see the station, and now that's even gone. Yeah. So it's just, it's good. And it was also kind of like, wow, it's interesting. It looks like it's been here, but it's not from my memory, if that makes any sense. It's good and bad at the same time.
No, it totally does, because, you know, I didn't get to go down until I was in college. So I went one day for like a half day to the Magic Kingdom when I was in fifth grade. You know, but obviously I don't have huge memories from that. But, you know, I don't have that level of, oh, you know, this is where the old Skyliner station was in Tomorrowland or in, you know, where the Tangled toilets are now. You know, like I know from research, because I'm such a big parks fan and, you know, I like researching this kind of stuff. I've seen it and I've, you know, before they took them out, I knew that's where the system was. But you're right. I mean, if it's something you grew up with, it is probably kind of a little bit shocking to be like, whoa, man, Fantasyland is, you know, like you can go back and buy Mermaid and Gaston's and all that. And this was, you know, 20,000 leagues. It was where the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train sits. It's crazy.
Well, not to mention, too, all the Pixar characters. I mean, that's obviously very new. And so that there are some classic characters like you go, well, Roger Rabbit used to run around. And there's different characters that you obviously don't see. They're rare now. But maybe it's for the better. You know, when I was a kid, I remember getting on Alien Encounter and it scared the mess out of me. So there's some things that were maybe better that were that ride out of that great. Eisner era. But so
that ride was awesome. It didn't belong in the Magic Kingdom at all.
Right.
But it was, It was awesome. That thing was crazy scary.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that was in the Magic Kingdom. It should have been the studios, but just saying. But no, let me ask you. I mean, don't you think that's, I mean, it's totally for the studios. It would have been fine, but not tomorrow.
Exactly.
But yeah, oh well. So let me ask you another thing. So what's one thing that you really miss that's gone, you know, that maybe was there growing up? Because I love hearing that. You know, folks always have their old favorite, and it's like, oh man, if I could just do that one more time. Do you have something like that?
MGM was the biggest, like, it's changing, and I haven't been there for Galaxy's Edge and that kind of stuff yet. But I love what's it called? Action Sports, Extreme Action Sports, the stunt show, the car stunt show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lights, Motor, Action.
That was like one of my favorite shows. And then the studio tour in the back, the disaster piece. I thought that was a really cool ride, too. So not having that there, it was kind of weird. Like, those were two staples for me for a long time. that's not here anymore. I definitely miss those.
Well, totally, because, you know, if you think about it, when you take out the Backlot Tour, Lights Motor Action, which came a little later, I think it was 2005 when they did that celebration right. Where they got stuff from all over the world. And then, I mean, think about it, Great Movie Ride. You know, we're like 2 or 3 weeks away from Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Right.
Make sure I get that right. But it's still, that's where I think it would be shocking for somebody like you, because the personality, not only is the park changed, like the Magic Kingdom with adding, you know, new Fantasyland and stuff like that, but I mean, especially Hollywood Studios, it's a totally different like focus at that park. It's not about movies anymore. It's about movie experiences, but not about making the movies.
Yeah, I think that was so unique with the Backlot Tour, where there was different scenes and there was the water scene first, and you kind of move through, and then when you're in the queue, they have all the props there. You were not supposed to talk about this, but Universal used to have something similar to that, and it's gone too. I think they're all getting away from that. And I thought that was really unique, and especially, gosh, the Great Movie Ride. My wife had never been on it, and I was just telling her, like, you don't understand. That was like Carousel of Progress.
Yes.
Like, it was like, you have to do this. It's just part of it. Whether it's boring or not, you just need to go on it.
Yeah, so. You're, that's exactly right. I mean, the Great Movie Ride was one of – that's a great comparison to Carousel of Progress, where – you know, Carousel of Progress, I'll be honest, I don't ride it every trip, but I do probably every other trip. But I'm
right.
Like, it's comfortable knowing that it's there. You know, like, I still can't believe, like, when I run past, you know, if we're doing a race or something and we're in the studios or just, you know, going to the studios for the day to enjoy the park, it's still kind of hard to believe that, you know, you're not going to get in that big car and, you know, see John Wayne on the horse and the gangster shooting it out and the big movie, you know, trailers at the end. I mean, that was the studios for me and for everybody for so long. And just, I'm excited for the new experience, but it's just, it's going to feel weird at first, I think.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was a staple for a long time.
All right. So, you mentioned Epcot, you guys went over there for a day, and, what are some of the things you enjoy most over at that park?
I'm a huge fan of World Showcase. I really am. I think that's one of the coolest parts of the park. I mean, the rides are great. I've been on all the rides. I hadn't been on Nemo before. That was kind of cool to get Finley on there. I've done Test Track before. Soarin's amazing. But like I told you, when she took that nap and we had a couple hours to go around the park, I mean, I went and got the fish and chips, grabbed a beer, walk around. I mean, that's like, to me, if I lived back in Florida again, Epcot would be my park. I literally could go there and eat. And just try new stuff. This past year, we went for the Food and Wine Festival just because we liked Epcot so much that last family trip. I just couldn't believe it. It had been a while since I've been to Epcot. And as a kid, it was kind of that park where you're like,
yeah,
it's fun, but they didn't really have the rides. Yeah. And you kind of just wanted to get back to Magic Kingdom. And as an adult, I think it's my jam. That's a great park now.
Yeah, it totally is. You're right. I mean, if you're a local, that's just got to be the place. I think that's what everybody dreams of. You know, everybody that's not local to Orlando or even Florida, you know, where you maybe could drive in for the weekend. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, if I lived that close, I'd have dinner. Let's see, tonight we're going to eat at Beer Garden. I guess it would get super expensive. I'd have to have a really, really good job. But okay, tonight we're going to eat at Mexico. Tomorrow night we're going to be at Beer Garden. I guess that's not really feasible, but I guess it's the dream of all of us.
Well, they have that Florida resident after 4 p.m. Epcot pass, and I've got buddies that have that, and they literally use it just to go in for festivals, and it's a really cool deal. Yeah. But no, Epcot was amazing. That's, to me, what they're doing with Epcot makes a lot of sense. I can't wait to go in 2-3 years when it's done.
Yeah, that's going to be my next question, what you think about, because, I mean, talk about a park changing. We know, talked about the studios, but, I mean, Epcot, especially, you know, Future World is going to be totally different, but, I think this is necessary. As much as I like old Epcot, how it was, you know, I think it's got a certain aesthetic, but I just think it does need more green space. I mean, it's hot in there in the summer, and, you know, they're changing with the times. They're giving more experiences, which I think you have to give the guests to keep the park relevant.
And I try to remember as a kid, like, what were the things that I remember there besides, like, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience? Like, that was something that I really remember. And I can't even remember if that was MGM or Epcot. I thought it was Epcot.
Yeah,
but that Figment, I can't even remember what else we would do. We would eat at the Coral Reef restaurant every time we would go. So I think if they're going to have World Showcase, leave that alone and have the big thrill rides they're bringing in Ratatouille and that kind of stuff. That's going to be probably one of my favorite parks moving forward.
Yeah, this park. The good news about this park is that it holds the crowds well. I mean, it's kind of why I always go there on holidays like 4th of July, New Year's Eve. It handles a huge crowd a lot better than, like, this, especially the studios or Magic Kingdom even.
Right.
So this is going to be hot. I mean, people are going to be going there like crazy because, you know, it's festivals almost all year round at this point for the most part. But the festival's really kind of, like you said, you guys went down for food and wine. When you have a festival going on, it's just like a little plus to the park. You know, you got the countries, but you got little, you know, kiosks in between, which gives you an opportunity to even do more in your Epcot day.
And I was surprised how affordable it was. I mean, I know everybody complains how expensive Disney is, but the little tasters of even alcohol drinks were, I thought, pretty good. I mean, it wasn't that expensive for the Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah, we're just going to edit that out before Disney.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No, I agree. You know, people always say, you know, Disney trips are so expensive, and I'm not saying they're not. They are. But, I mean, you know, like if we go to the ball game, you know, Busch Stadium, I mean, a soda, like if I get a Coke Zero, it's like $7. You know, it's it's crazy. I mean, it's more expensive than Disney. I think the thing is, you see that during your trip, but I mean, you really can't go anywhere that's going to be a lot of fun without paying those kind of prices. Any kind of sporting event, any other theme parks, it's all relative, I think. I mean, they just kind of gouge you because they have you, but I mean, everybody does it. If you don't want to pay those prices, you're going to be sitting at home most of the time.
No, and we talk about it every time, you know, since we're now planning on going yearly. It is what it is. I mean, we come back, you know, smiling ear to ear. We love it. We think it's one of the best things you could do for your family. So whatever the cost is, I mean, you just kind of, at least we're fortunate enough that we'll figure it out. I mean, it's just one of the best vacations, I feel like.
Totally agree. Yeah, we just kind of, you know, sacrifice other places throughout the year just to, you know, make it work. I mean, this is how it is. You know, there's certain things we don't do, and we have a good time on our vacation. So, well, we're going to wrap this, but let me ask you, you said you guys, you know, are starting to go yearly. So what's on the calendar? Like, what's your next adventure down to Walt Disney World? What are you guys looking at talking about?
We're trying to do, you know, I want to go back to when I was a kid and going to Fort Wilderness, not necessarily focusing on the parks, but I've got tons of memories going to Fort Wilderness and doing canoeing, the s'mores, the cookouts, going to Publix and buying your own food and bringing it back, that kind of thing. I would love to go back down there, maybe do a park day, maybe go during Christmas time and just do the Christmas party, but spend the week just grilling out and enjoying the Fort Wilderness area. So I think that's kind of what we're looking at doing.
Do you think you have the discipline to do that? Because I'm just asking, I'm serious. I'm serious because the thing is, like, I love that idea sitting right here in February in St. Louis, you know, of going down. And I've actually gone down for 3 days and not gone into a park. We were driving to Miami for a cruise. Our tickets were expired. You know, we stayed at Little Mermaid rooms at Art of Animation, swam, putt-putt, Disney Springs, stuff like that. And it was awesome because it was no pressure. Like, you didn't, you know, like, you weren't tired for once. It was crazy, but I mean, you sound like you're really a parks guy. I mean, but I mean, you say you have the memories of Fort Wilderness, so you think you could pull that off?
If Rise of the Resistance becomes more accessible, I may have to go there and do that. But no, I you know, a couple park days out of a week, I think, is something that is feasible. I feel like I have to take Finley back to Magic Kingdom, but if I could do that and then get on Rise of the Resistance, I would call it. That'd be perfect.
We'll have to talk about that. We'll see how
it works out.
Well, hey, I appreciate it. And, you know, on behalf of all of us Disney fans, thanks for making the magic down there for us on your program. We appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a blast.
All right, and we'll have to talk again. Like I said, after the Fort Wilderness, you're looking in. You're not going in too much. We'll see how that goes. I'm not going to throw down bets. I threw down a bet with Ricky on last Wednesday show, so I got to turn into like Jimmy the Greek or something here, you know, with all the bets. So I got to stop that. And just move on from there. So, Josh, thanks for taking some time and starting the Monday with us. We sure appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They have the tools to keep you out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com. Also, please support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and every purchase does help support the show. So again, please bookmark it and use it often. Thank you so very much. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here until we're back together again on Wednesday, where we answer your listener questions. So you never know what you're going to get on that show. But until then, for Josh, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.